Well, it's time for In the Chains, the UK-based podcast for amateur disc golfers. Get ready for course reviews, disc reviews, and the latest news and updates from the disc golf world. Your hosts will also talk about their own progression and have a lot of fun along the way. And now, here they are, two Brits and one Yang. Let's get started.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of In the Chains. We are your amateur disc golf podcast, bringing you the latest from the disc golf world, including news, interviews, and all things disc golf. My name is Dennis, and I'm your favorite American, and with me, as always, are my two favorite Brits. The
bubble to my squeak.
What is going on here? The bubble to my squeak? Who are you?
I thought that was brilliant. I thought that was much better than what we have normally.
I thought that was really good, Josh.
The best we've had.
You don't want to hear what I came up with earlier. I didn't have the gumption to say it.
I still think it would be really funny.
All right. Well, all is obviously, everybody who's listening is hearing that there's other people online. So let's go ahead and introduce who's here. So from Team Ace, we have
Josh Birmingham. Hello.
Hey, I'm Rachel Turton.
And hi, I'm Max Humphreys.
All right, so we got MPO, FPO, and MA4.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Well, welcome, guys. Welcome to the Ace Podcast. Screw it, we're going to change the name.
You didn't consult me over that.
We don't consult you on anything.
That's plainly obvious.
I mean, it's just that simple. Anyways, we got a great show for you guys. We're going to talk to Team Ace. Team Ace is going to talk to us. And we're just going to talk about whatever comes to mind. We're still going to run through the normal show like always. Bowen's got some great news for us. We'll have a little chat with everybody. And then we'll finish it up with everybody's favorite segment, Duffy's Questions Corner.
Everybody's bar mine.
Well, yeah, but that's just because you're not any good at it. I know, his feelings get so hurt. So, yeah, jump in whenever. So let's jump into the news. Bowen, what you got for us, man?
Right. The big piece of the week, and I don't want to embarrass anyone, but someone in this chat has done something pretty amazing this week, haven't they, Rachel?
Yeah, apparently so.
Do you want to tell us what you've done?
So I was out filming a practice round for Lookfly Ultimate this week, and I scored an albatross.
Woo! That
nice.
That
well
is
done.
Amazing.
Well done.
Well done.
Yeah,
well done.
Pretty cool.
And an albatross is harder to get than an ace, is that correct?
It's harder than all of the aces that I've scored so far, because it's been further.
So far.
All of the aces.
How many have you got, Max and Dennis and Bird? I'm just trying to think, Aaron. Yeah.
Wow, that's a dick move. Thanks, Duffy. So, Rachel, tell us about your feelings when that happened. Like, what was going through your mind? Walk us through the whole hole.
Okay, yeah. Hole 16 at St. Andrew's Disc Golf Course. We've been allowed to play through lockdown. Golf courses are open, so disc golf courses are also open in Scotland, which has been wonderful. Hole 16 is the longest hole on the course. It is 219 metres, and it's like a little bit of an S-bend. So, yeah, had a great drive. I was really happy with it. It was probably 112 metres for the drive, and then leaving me 107 metres for the throw-in.
Just a mere 107 metres.
That is filthy.
Did you know from the start of the second shot that it was going to be close, or was it a complete surprise?
It was going to be very close, yeah. It's a difficult shot, the second shot. I'm a right-handed backhand player normally. I have a pretty decent flick, but the hole kind of bends to the right a little bit, but is guarded by trees. So a forehand would be an ideal shot for it, but I probably can't throw 107 metres with a forehand yet. So I've been trying to throw like a turn of the backhand.
Nobody needs a forehand. they're overrated.
And do you have this on film?
Yes, but the clips could only have been 15 seconds long each because it was for Instagram stories. So the filming stops before the disc goes in, so you can't see the moment. But
would you believe I've had so many aces just like that? where I throw it, you don't see it, and then boom.
I have as well, Max.
Yeah.
I have
well,
as
the
well.
The only one I can remember ever seeing was Philo Braithwaite's one. That's the only one I've really seen like publicised anywhere, so it's a pretty good thing to do.
Well, this past weekend, Paul Ulibarri actually had one as well.
Oh, okay, I missed that.
But again, we know that you didn't watch it because...
No, I didn't.
The news person who doesn't stay up to date with current affairs.
I just look online on Monday morning. That's just how we just make it up as we go along anyway, don't we?
Well, Rachel, congratulations. That's a pretty amazing feat. And
thank you. Yeah.
Well, speaking of Philo, I actually tagged him on her post and he reached out on Instagram. So that was pretty cool.
That's cool. That's really good. Nice. Very good. Right. Quarry Park. How many of you like played Quarry Park?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Great.
They've been developing the new section of land that Derek purchased, and the past few weeks they've managed to plant over 300 trees and 90 dead branches to provide temporary obstacles. So as soon as we're going to be out of lockdown when this comes out, we'll be able to play the new holes. So me and Duffy played them before the latest lockdown. Dennis hasn't played them yet. It's going to be good, I reckon. So
the best English course gets better.
Were you guys at the Autumn Open?
Oh.
Yeah. Would you like to talk about it?
Oh, yeah. No, not really.
Hold on. Josh, you're hurting my heart. Like, you and I literally had a 30-minute conversation about your number 3 tattoo, as well as the fact that you're from Georgia and I'm from Georgia, and you're asking me if I was there. That hurts.
I thought you were from Denver, Dennis.
No, that's where I moved here from. It's Colorado, but I'm a Georgia boy.
I remember that conversation, but I'm so bad with names, and like, I'm now just realizing that you are who I was talking to. But I was like, I do remember because we were talking about Florida, Georgia, like all that business.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that was cool.
Josh, I'm going to forgive you. I wasn't famous back then, but I'm famous now. So,
can I just say, how many Americans have you met playing disc golf, Josh? Is it?
Well, they're usually a lot better than Dennis, but yeah, like 4 or 5 at least.
Before we come on, Dennis said, me and Josh need to stick together, and this is brilliant.
Didn't you know this is how Americans stick together? Anyways, what were you saying about Quarry Park in the
I can't remember. It's
not
one of
you,
my favorite
Josh.
Courses.
Shut up, Bowen.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I was just saying that, you know, yeah, I met you. That's crazy. And I was talking a lot of crap to Tweed the morning of the event. Sitting at the hotel, I was like, wear some extra trousers because I'm going to spank your butt today and all that stuff. And then he ended up beating me, so that wasn't cool.
That seems to be like an American trait, though, because that's sort of the text messages I get off Dennis before we play around, and it's always a similar outcome.
You are absolutely right, but now that we're out of lockdown, we just played around at Bedworth. What did you shoot?
I don't know. I can't remember. I think it's like 5 over.
Yeah, and what did I shoot?
I can't remember. I don't think I saved the scorecard.
Well, I shot a 3 over. So woo! I now hold the record in our little group for Bedworth.
Nice.
So I'm ready for the tournament on the 18th. Looking forward to it. Speaking of tournaments, guys. Hold on. Before we do that. No, I am right. Speaking of tournaments, what do you guys have planned for April, May, and the rest of the season?
Maximus?
Oh, sweet. April, playing the Bedworth Comp on the 18th as well, same as you, Dennis. We will be there battling it out in MA4. Hopefully hand it to you, but I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. Thank you.
I'll be willing you on, Max.
Yeah,
don't worry.
And me.
Oh, that's my man. Then going from there, I think it's, 6 days later, we have the Wembley Open. Down in
Wembley,
Horsenden Hill, and thank you for that. Yeah, and then in May, I think it's the 8th, we have the Women's Global Event that Amanda's playing. So the event that they're running alongside that, I should be competing there as well.
What about you, Rachel? What have you got planned?
The Scots have an extensive tournament calendar planned, so I'll just be trying to play as many as I can. Really, not sure when I'll be able to get down to England. Who knows, we're locked up in Scotland for now, but hopefully I'll be able to come down and play some other events and hopefully meet some of you guys at some point.
Awesome. And Josh, what about you?
Well, I'm actually running a league in Croydon for 9 weeks, so all through May and June. And that was kind of to give our locals a chance to get rated rounds, or, you know, our newer players to kind of get experience in a tournament setting without too much pressure and stuff like that. So I'm going to be TDing for the very first time. And now,
nervous?
A little bit. I was at first. Once I started looking into it, you know, the PDGA website's so intuitive. You just kind of follow their steps, and it's pretty simple from then on. Because the actual event isn't going to be too complicated. Not a lot of prizes and things like that. We're just going for the ratings and, you know, good times. So,
Is there anything special you have to do to make that league sanctioned and to get the ratings? Is there anything like out of the ordinary that has to be done?
Well, you have to pass the rules exam to be a TD, and then it's just like $25, £25 or so to actually sanction the event, and then you're ready to go.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's pretty cool. I do like the idea of the league system. I think it would suit me better. It doesn't necessarily shoot really good rounds, but pretty consistent.
Some people think that your ratings suffer a little bit during league. I guess maybe the propagators that are there have something to do with it. Maybe there's less or something, but I don't know. I kind of like it, especially at your home course, you know, because you got to think out of 7 or 8 rounds, you probably will average a little better in the end.
What? And like you said, for those players who are getting into the game and want to build a rating and be ready for that, it'll help them. We talked about it on last week's show. You know, Quarry Park is holding the Amateur Open in May, where that's going to be for anybody who's 850 or less rated, and then they have the actual Quarry Park Open in June, where then that's for basically MA3 and higher. So people who want to, you know, get in the, maybe be in MA4 now, but want to get in MA3, this is a good way for them to bump up that rating.
You'll be playing in MA4, won't you, Dennis?
I don't know yet. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Depending on when the ratings get updated, I'll be playing in the 2-day event, Dennis. The better one.
So I imagine as well you'll be going for the BDGA points as well, right? MA3 and higher. I'm pretty sure all of those divisions allow the BDGA points.
Let me tell you what's happened, Max. I ballsed up because I played the Autumn Open and I scored a reasonable round, which is basically hampered me now because I've been put up into the MA3 category. And I'm going to get my arse spanked. And now the problem is, it's everybody else has got a true representative sort of rating because it's over played multiple rounds. I've got it off one round. And it's higher than what it should be, so I'm going to be punished, and I'm going to be crashed back down to earth relatively soon.
Were you
soon.
The one that was throwing the discs?
Yes.
Did you report all of your scores correctly?
I didn't report any of them.
I'm going to go ahead and say that's probably your true rating, dude.
I don't know.
It is, right?
Yeah, back yourself.
Yeah, Duffy's really hard on himself. He at the Autumn Open, he played amazing. Obviously, having played with him recently, he's improved a lot. Bowen's improved. So he is hard on himself. I think he is an 874 rated player. He's got better consistency than I do, which then is going to definitely help him be in that higher 800s. And I can see him being close to 900 by the end of the year.
That's what I'd like. I'd like that.
Nice.
Very good.
You guys are just like pretty fresh into it as well, right?
Yeah, all of us have been playing for less than a year. I mean, Autumn Open was my first tournament. Currently, I'm just 815 rated. However, I've been practicing all during the lockdown. I just like the sport. Like, I'm a very competitive person, and I told myself at the end of 2020 that I was going to play MA4. I wanted to see where I stand. Like, am I good enough for one to play in tournaments, and is MA4 the right category? And then I was going to do that for a year. However, like Max was saying, with the BDGA not doing the British Championships with MA4, I'm thinking about after the two tournaments I'm already signed up for is MA4, that I'm going to move to MA3 so that if I am good enough, then I can get into the British Championships. That's my goal for the year.
What are all your thoughts on the BDGA not offering every division?
I personally think it's a bit disappointing. If I'm totally honest, I think I want to be able to compete on what is one of the more prestigious events of the year based on my skill, not based on if I can get to as many events as possible and if I can just attend in an MA3. Because I personally don't belong in MA3. I'm 754 rated, so pretty low down. And I know that if I go into MA3, it's going to be a last position every single time. But you do get points just for attending, based on what I've seen. So it's, do you just go to as many events as possible, just attend, get your 2 points, and leave? I just think it's a disappointing way to look at it. It feels very like demotivating as an MA4 player to know that there's no chance of me getting into that without playing against people that are much better than I am.
Well, I think, too, for you, Max, you know, last year you played in the British Championships as MA4, and then to not have it available this year is definitely, like you said, disheartening. And it's not, you know, and that's why we have the different divisions, right? Because you have a set skill point, and you're playing with people who may be a little bit better, who may be a little worse, but they're in that same basic category.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why they have a category. You know, if I'm right there in the boat with you, Max. If you and I go and play MA3 and we're always in the bottom tier, that's going to get disheartening, and that's not going to make me not want to play tournaments. Then I'll go to a league or just play casual. Me personally, I'm very competitive and I want to do well, but having people who are always going to be, who always beat me, and I never get the actual points to then be able to qualify
but
for something.
But if I drop into MA3, you're going to beat me, so it's all right, isn't it?
What's the actual reasoning? So it doesn't seem to make any sense, really. You think there's going to be a lot of people, newcomers, into the sport, which is it's a good gateway into sort of getting into disc golf, and it seems like that's been sort of taken away a little bit, which I think is a bit disappointing. But just without a real sort of a good excuse as to why that's happened.
I'm not really sure what the benefit of that is, I guess, other than just trying to progress, make people want to, you know, be better. But, you know, I think people already want to do that. But it's weird for me because I didn't play a tournament for probably until like the 9th year that I was even playing. It was just, I was just playing with friends and was always working on the weekends because I was a musician. And so I didn't even realize you could like tour or any of that stuff. And once I discovered it on YouTube, I was like, oh my God, like there's people that actually spend their life doing this. And I liked it enough to do that. But yeah, it just took me a long time to figure that out. And so my first tournament, I went MA1, I think, and it was here. My very first PDGA tournament. And but yeah, I think if I were to have known that there were tournaments early on, I definitely would have wanted to play them.
Is the idea to get more people to be able to play in the MA3, MA2, MA1, have more spaces available for those categories? Is that why it's been taken away, do we know? Or?
I believe so. I think that's what they said, is that there are so many newcomers, MA4 is going to be so heavily stacked. They sort of just wanted to concentrate on having more spots available for FPO, and I think they wanted to allow to have some of the older categories as well, some of the age protected categories. But I know last year they only offered spaces to like the top 10. So
if that's the case, though, do what Quarry Park is doing and have two separate weekends. Have, hey, this weekend is MA4, right? Because if that's going to have the most people, we're going to have MA4 that's 54 players or however many can play MA4,
yeah.
And then the following weekend is MA3 and above, or have a tournament of MA4 and MA3, and then all the other categories the next week. And that way also that, say Josh, you know, Josh is playing the following weekend, and you're playing this weekend, he and the rest of, you know, Ace can come out and see you, support you as you play, and then vice versa the next weekend. Now you're going up and supporting everybody else.
Love the idea.
Yeah, I mean, having like a British Champs amateur version or, you know, some sort of separate tournament, it makes a lot more sense. Yeah. It adds more revenue into their stream as well. It's...
Yeah, especially if it's the same course, right? You're not playing different courses. You're playing the same course.
Yeah,
the conditions might be, you know, a little different because England changes so quickly. But you're just playing the same course, and that allows for everybody to come in because, you know, we've seen this exponential growth in disc golf over the last year, And because of that, now you're excluding a major part of that growth is the new players.
But is that because the infrastructure's not there to support all this growth? That's the issue, isn't it?
Yeah. I think, you know, divisions have always been a little bit weird here compared to the States, because, you know, in the States they've been playing for, you know, a long time and a lot more people know about it. But yeah.
Okay. Anything else, Bowen?
Yeah. Spoken to Ollie from London Disc Golf Community, your rivals, actually.
I'm picturing Anchorman. You know, when you've got DG UK, Ace Disc, LDG, whatever, the London Disc Golf Community, sort of all coming in to fight each other in packs.
Oh, yeah.
Weird. I feel like it's more like West Side Story, where they're all like, having the dance off.
Oh, wow.
So the Wembley Open will not be a BDGA event, so it won't be a tour event. So I know that recently on Facebook, some people have been upset that some events are and some aren't. Like, I don't know what you lot think about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the riff the other night on Facebook was just that I think they decided to add tour points after the signups had closed, and I think a lot of people, including myself, would have signed up. And that doesn't mean I would have gotten in, so I wouldn't have complained at that point. But I think knowing ahead of time really helps. But, you know, they just want to create more events this year to accommodate the influx of players. So I understand why they're doing it. It's just a weird year for it, you know. So hopefully next year we can kind of pick and choose ahead of time, you know, before the schedule's released. That way everyone knows ahead of time. But, you know, with COVID, you kind of got to give it a pass, I think, a little bit.
What I'm finding very frustrating is knowing where to sign up for these tournaments, right? Yeah, there's been a new link put out that kind of has the list, but it doesn't seem like there's a single site for all the registration. You know, again, this is a small country. It's the size of a few of our states back in America.
No need to brag.
Well, size doesn't matter, so I've been told. But it's I just want somewhere where I can go to have a registration for all the tournaments. So I have a list of all the tournaments. However, I don't know where to go and register for them. So that way I can basically pick my schedule throughout the year.
Yeah, like some pop up on Facebook, some you have to go to the actual website, some you have to go, and it just seems like so difficult to keep track of everything. Because I want to play as many tournaments as I can, I feel I'm living in fear of not seeing a post or something and missing out on a tournament because it's all gone.
Yeah,
it just feels like, I know that chap, I think we spoke about him in the news a couple of weeks ago, sort of amalgamated the list for people who aren't on Facebook to sort of go, but it still doesn't sort of give the one sort of, what am I trying to say, the one sort of website or form to apply for. There should be just sort of one site that covers it all, really.
Yeah, do you guys know Disc Golf Scene?
Yeah.
So pretty much everyone in the States just puts it on there, and I don't know if it derives from the PDGA website at all, but that seems to be the best one that I know of. And
that's what Nottingham did, I think.
Yeah, I think Carol Finley has put her events on it, which I was happy to see. So that's there, and it works great. So I would like to see more people kind of using that universally.
How do you lot get on tournaments? Do you all talk between each other and say, right, you've got to register for this one, like being part of the team?
They use their influence, Bowen.
Ah, that's it.
That's what we need to try and build up.
Rachel, how's it in Scotland, right? Because obviously you're on a different tour than us down here. How's that all work? And you guys have been able to play. How's that working for you up there?
Yeah, you're right. We haven't had any events yet this year, and we only had some events like late summer last year as well. There were some earlier in the year, but I hadn't started playing by then, so who knows? None of the tournaments that I've went to in Scotland have been oversubscribed, which is great. Courses are quite big, and maybe the player base is probably smaller than in the rest of England, I guess. But they have a Facebook page where they publish everything. So it's just really one place to be able to keep track of things, which is nice. They're all pretty good at keeping in contact and publicizing things, and being open and transparent, which makes it really easy as a player to find the events and apply.
So basically, move to Scotland.
Yeah, they're doing it right.
Well, because you could still play disc golf in Scotland. We were talking about a couple of weekends ago, just coming up for the day to play around with me.
Well, yeah. As soon as we're allowed over the border, I don't know how much policing of the border there is going on, but we're certainly not supposed to travel. I don't know what it's going to be like, really.
Well, yeah. See that, and that, like, for me, I know that, like, 2021 was supposed to be my tour of the UK. I was going to use disc golf as my excuse to see the country, go somewhere, play a tournament, and then wherever I'm at, see that area, see what there is to do, and then obviously move on. And hopefully that's still the plan.
Yeah, definitely come up to Scotland if you get the chance. I'd love to show you around some courses. We have definitely some of the best courses in the UK.
I mean, I want to sign up for, I want to say it's Bluebells?
Yeah,
Bluebell Woods.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's the one that I really want to play. I hear that course is amazing.
Do it.
Agreed. That to me, that is the best course in the UK. I haven't played every course, but I think it's the best.
See, I'm a fan of Quarry Park. That was obviously the first one I went to, but I'm down to play anything at any time.
And we're talking about, you've been speaking to somebody about Felingerry, haven't you?
Yeah, well, in Wales, saying
that that's a really nice course as well. So definitely want to try and get out to at least both of those once everything opens up, don't we?
So Bowen, do you have any more news, or can we move on to not talk about you?
Yeah. I've got some local news. So Gilly's disc golf news. I don't know if any of you have been following him on Instagram, but he's quite local to us, he is. And I spoke to him in the week, and he said work's going really well considering the lockdown. The car park's completely finished now, and the brush clearing is ongoing, but the fairways are looking great. The short course is still going to be open on target for June, and the shop's arriving in May or June. And it's coming along well. It's going to actually be an old container, like a shipping container. So he said it's looking good. He's still keen for any help possible when you can. So if you get on his Facebook or Insta and drop him a message, I'm sure he'd appreciate some help. I mean, us three are going to go down and give him a hand because we're fairly local. So it'd be good to see some of the listeners down there as well.
And we want to try and brown nose, don't we?
Yeah, I actually went down there before this last lockdown with Simon Luard, and he and I picked up a bunch of logs out of the fairway. I don't know what hole it was, but at the end of the day, we got to throw it, you know, and kind of enjoy some of our work. And it's a really beautiful piece of property. Got a little bitty like pond or something on it as well. So I think it's going to be a really cool wooded course that we don't have many of those, basically, so it's going to be a good addition.
You'll be polluting that pond in no time, Bowen. Oh,
yeah, I'll lose discs in there.
Matt's
yeah.
great. I think he's going to have a good spot down there.
Good. I love it because it's 40 minutes away from where I live. I feel like I'm in the mecca of UK disc golf because I'm 45 minutes from Reading, an hour from London, 45 from Quarry Park, an hour to Bedworth. Like, I am the prime location.
Cotswolds, you've got Cotswolds.
Yeah, that's 30 minutes. It's like an hour and a half to Shrewsbury. Like, there's some real nice courses that, at least here in this pocket. But I do want to travel.
You would be in the perfect position, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would be.
Yes.
Yeah, the best. The best.
Where are you from, Max? Where's your local course?
That is a secret location. I am about an hour away from Quarry Park, an hour away from Bedworth, so I'm kind of like in an awkward spot, but then I speak to some people and they're like, oh man, I'd kill to be an hour away from a course. So
yeah.
Some pretty good courses close.
We'll try and triangulate where that is later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Get it out to everybody on Insta.
And how many courses have you got local to you, Rachel?
I live a mile away from the St Andrews course, and I also work at the sports centre where the course is located, so I am there pretty much every day, which is nice.
Jammy git.
Very, very handy.
Is that on the actual St Andrews course, or anywhere near it?
No, it's not. No. We probably would never be allowed to play on the other
side. Dirty disc golfers.
Foot golf in some of the golf courses around here. So we're considering trying to grow the sport and considering our options for maybe future courses, which is cool.
That's kind of what it's all about, right? Spreading the word.
So Rachel, I was going to say, Rachel, you've got your own private course like Dennis has, haven't
you? Pretty much, yeah, pretty much.
Do you hold the record on it as well?
Not quite, no. My PB is 9 under, which I equaled the other day, and the course record is 10 under, so I'm close. It's going to happen.
Just out of interest, did you invite your friends up to play, and then the first time that they played, beat your top score?
No.
Thanks. That happened to you, didn't it, Dennis?
Yeah, it did. But since then, I have tied that score. So, like, my personal best on my course is 1 under. It's still not the course record. Stupid Richard Hatton set at 4 under. But funny story, Max is coming down to play my course here.
What?
I'm excited. Him and a couple of the other Ace guys that aren't here on the podcast, the Founders Club members are coming over and they're going to play my course. So
we didn't get an invite, did we, Bo?
No, we didn't. Don't feel put out, Rachel and Josh. I've
got a personal course, so I'll invite you guys and we'll just leave them out.
Do it on the same day. That'll be a cracking day. That will.
Yeah. Mine.
You get
tour points at mine.
Yes, brilliant.
We'll fly Rachel down as well.
Mine, unfortunately, is by invite only, so there's not much I can do about that.
I must admit as well, for the first few weeks of you guys saying about, oh, Dennis has got a private course, like every time you guys would say it and you'd laugh your asses off. So I was like, oh, okay, a private course. And then like I was chatting to Dennis one day and he's like, no, there is literally a full course with me. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's real.
He does have to share it, but
yeah.
I thought it was just going to be
in his garden, like a 6 meter putt, and it was just like, oh man, this course is amazing.
I fell in love with disc golf from the first time that I threw a disc a year ago, and I knew that I would never be a professional disc golfer. I would never go anywhere with it, but I made it. I was so passionate about it from the get go that I've made it my goal to spread the word of disc golf, to let people know about it, to get more people in. And so I did that early on last summer with supporting Ace. And then I decided to design my own course where I work. So I was lucky enough to get some money that I then designed the course. Because originally I was just playing like an objects course in the area. Then I knew some money was coming, so I was like, cool, let me actually get some baskets. And then I designed the course, had it installed. It actually got installed on the 24th of December, and then lockdown happened. I had this whole big plan for like a ribbon cutting and to invite some people down and to show the people that I work with how to play and have this big event. However, this lockdown has screwed all that up. And so I just want to share the sport with who I can share it with. Same reason why this podcast is happening, right? We want to share disc golf. We like talking about it. Same reason that I think we do most of the things that we do is we're never going to be pros, but we want to get the word of disc golf out there. And so that's what this course has done. Where I work, tons of people are coming out and playing. Families are coming. Coworkers are coming to play. And hopefully here, beginning of the summer, I can do my original plan for January, and get it rolling a little bit more.
Fucking hell. It's like the Dennis show.
What are your guys' goals for the season? Like what, by the end of 2021, and this is for each of, this is actually for all five of you guys, what's your goals? Like, what's everybody's goals in disc golf?
I'll go first. So mine's quite simple. You pretty much said it earlier. I want to try and get to 900 rating. And play as many tournaments as I can. Try and get to 900 rating. Try and compete in the British Championships at the end of the year. That's mine. Pretty simple. Max?
So sort of September, October last year, I had my eyes set on 2021's the year. Kind of, you know, get that number one spot in MA4. Bump myself up to MA3, awesome, you know, start 2022 off in MA3 and, you know, keep climbing my way up the ladder sort of thing. But we're now 3 months into it. I haven't even sniffed a course.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have sniffed a course if I was playing them, but, you know, I haven't been to a course and it's like, I feel real rusty. I feel like as soon as this lockdown's up and over and I'm at a course, it's going to be not starting all over again, but it's going to take a good few weeks to get myself feeling like I was last year. So we'll just see how that goes, but it's still the main game.
Rachel?
I would like to go and play a foreign event. COVID is kind of hampering that, but yeah, I'd love to break into the European scene. I think that'd be really cool. So fingers crossed, watch this space.
Oh, that'd be good.
Hell yeah.
Josh?
Yes, so I am currently 960 rated, which, you know, is good for someone that's hasn't really been practicing a ton until like the last 2 years. But I feel like after these last two lockdowns, I've gotten a lot better. And obviously, like everyone said, the COVID's keeping us from showing our results. But last year, my goal was to get to 980 and did not go so well. So I think that is an achievable goal. I mean, I'd also like to win British Champs. I think I have it in me to do it. So yeah, I'm coming for you, Luton.
Nice. I like it.
You're throwing it down. Yeah.
What about you, Bowen?
To be able to throw a forehand?
Well, I can throw my forehand's pretty good, to be fair. I'm playing my first tournament. I'm doing the first breakout event at Bedworth. I just want to play a couple of tournaments, get a bit more consistent, because I know I've got it in there, but there are quite a few errant shots, and I just want to keep it like, just get the consistency. I ain't too bothered about how well I place or what my rating is. Just like improve my game. I mean, I'm knocking along now at like what we call bogey golf. So I played in the early teens. I played lower than the teens, but in the teens over. So just to sort of maintain that, maybe bring it down to single digits over. That's what I'd like, to be honest. But we'll just have to see.
I think all those are very achievable for everybody.
What about you, Dennis?
What are my goals? World peace and love for everybody.
Yes, to show up.
It's so tough, right? Because on one hand, I want to sound conceited and arrogant and, you know, win MA3 and be the best golfer I can, but realistically, I mean, I'm just turned 39. My distance isn't going to get any further. I'm not going to throw any further than I'm throwing now. Consistency is my big goal. Josh thinks I can throw further than what I can.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how far you can throw, but I'm just saying, if you've just started, there's got to be some more in the tank.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I wish, so I played ball golf for 20 years, right? And you could go to a course and have the local pro like work on your swing and improve you. I wish we had that in disc golf, right? Because I can only learn so much by watching YouTube videos. I want somebody, you know, Josh, Rachel, somebody in and I'm going to use air quotes that nobody can see, but those professionals to work on my form, right? Because if it's a little thing like, hey, you need to bring your elbow up level, if that's the thing that I'm missing, or hey, you need to be, you know, need to have more hip rotation, or you need to plant your foot, like I need somebody else who is way better to see that in me and be like, that's how you fix it, that's what you need to do.
I'm actually thinking about doing lessons in Croydon, because I teach drums privately, and I'm kind of trying to get to the disc golf side of teaching now. And I think it will be very useful for a lot of people, considering so many people just started, which, you know, I'm not Paul Macbeth, so I'm not the best you're going to find. But I know enough to get, you know, these little things here and there, like keeping your arm away from your body, not rounding, those kinds of things. So and those are pretty easy to fix.
And I think that's what the sport needs, right? Because again, it's like anything. If you learn the bad habits up front, now you're stuck with those. It's harder to break those as you go along. But if from the beginning you're learning proper form and proper weight distribution, you're just going to have an overall better time. And I think with that goes also in the fact that I know that like Duffy and I and a little Bowen, when we first started playing, we wanted to throw those distance drivers, right? Oh, I'm going to throw this 13 speed, and and because that's the one that goes the furthest. Well, no, that's not what the speed rating is. So we're all trying to throw these discs that aren't doing anything like we thought they were. And again, if we can teach people from the beginning, no, throw a putter, throw a mid-range, get your form, and then move up. By the time they get to that level, now they really know what they're doing, and they can actually, they're not just throwing it down the hole, they're actually aiming it and putting the disc where they want to put it. And I think that's the big difference.
Can I ask Rachel, how after only playing for a year can you throw it 112 meters?
I thought we just discussed that.
I think it's literally
I do work out a lot, but I've played Ultimate for coming on there 8 years now, so
there we go.
Have a lot of experience throwing discs, just not these discs.
How did you find the transition?
I think that it's been probably easier than if I hadn't played Ultimate, but there's been a lot of trying to unlearn things and trying to learn new things. And trying to like separate the techniques needed for Ultimate and needed for disc golf. But even with an Ultrastar, with like the Ultimate disc, I was probably one of the furthest throwers in the game, at least in Europe. So I have a lot of power.
Are you worried at all about going back into the Ultimate world and then having those two just kind of adversely affect the other?
Yeah, it's definitely going to take, well, I mean, it is taking time to get back to used to throwing Ultimate discs. But yeah, going from playing one to then playing the other is really difficult. It definitely takes a lot of warm up.
I can't throw an Ultra Star right now. Like I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I think I'm just overpowering it, maybe. But
100%. Yeah. They need a lot more IO, a lot more hyzer, and more touch, more like lift at the front of the disc.
If it's hard to change, why don't you just stick to disc golf? Give up on Ultimate.
There's definitely some things I still want to achieve in Ultimate. I'd like to go and play at the World Games, which is one of the Olympic events. That's happening next year, touch wood, if COVID allows.
So what you're saying, Rachel, is you're the Brody Smith of the FPO field.
Maybe of the UK, yeah.
We all know how much Duffy loves.
I was gonna say the likable version of.
You guys got him scheduled for the show yet?
I do have a message that somebody faked that got me all right. So I was out playing and I checked my phone and there's a message from Brody Smith that says, "Yeah, I'm down. Just let me know when."
No.
And I was freaking out. I was like, "Are you kidding me?" Texting Duffy. I'm like, "Oh my God, did you see that? Like, it's happening." He goes, "Nah, man. Like, I just made that up on an app." And I was like,
"Oh, that's amazing." It's amazing and cruel, but yeah.
Yeah. No, you know what? I've been happy with the people that we got so far. I think I never thought that this podcast was going to be what it is. I honestly thought it was going to be the three of us covering tournaments. We'd said in the beginning, oh, we're going to do course reviews and disc reviews. Yeah, we've had more interviews with people and just talking trash than we've done anything else. And
it's the best part.
I'm happy. I think so.
Yeah,
I think
definitely.
That's what I've been told by many people is our appeal is that it's three guys sitting around talking for an hour about disc golf and just having a good time. And as long as we continue to have one listener, we're going to continue to do this. So,
Wait, continue to have one listener?
The funny thing is, we've got three people on now and there's less people listening than
single right now. I have found somewhere online where you can buy listeners. So we're currently pursuing that one.
You'll at least have three listeners a week from now or 2 weeks from now, whatever that is.
Yeah, two more. That's awesome. All right, here's a fun question. What does it mean to be on Team Ace? Like, what's it mean to actually be a sponsor?
What do you get? How much money do you get?
What have you done with the 10 million?
No, but like seriously, like what's it mean to be a sponsored disc golfer?
We are like a family. I have never met these guys, and yeah, I feel so close to them. Like the support and the camaraderie and just, you know, being able to share your achievements and the shit things that happen and just having people around you who are like-minded and want to do the same. I think, yeah, it's great.
I think Rachel kind of said it best, where it's just like, you know, we are kind of just this one big family where it's no matter what's going on in your day, you know, you can just jump in the team chat, give everyone a shout, and it's like, cool, someone's listening, someone's there, if you know what I mean. And it's like when my wedding got postponed, even though it's totally not related to disc golf at all, mentioned it in the chat and everyone was just kind of there for me. And it's like these little things where at Champs, I remember I was having my best foot, like front six at Bedworth ever. I was so happy. And I'm just like in the chat, I'm like, guys, I'm doing it. This is amazing. And then the round fell to bits anyway. But the point is, like, it's so nice to know that when you're winning, you're sharing that excitement. And when you're losing, you've got someone there in your corner sort of thing. But as for like being a sponsor player and playing a course and stuff, it puts that extra target on your back, I think. And I think that's definitely some added pressure when you're out there. You've got, you know, that brand on the back and people are kind of looking, expecting something big. And like I said earlier, like knowing that I'm 754, I almost sometimes don't feel worthy. But then at the same time, it's like, no, these guys believe in me. They know that I've got what it takes. Like, I'm just got to put it all out there.
Yeah, to go off the back of that, speaking of pressure, yeah, our first tournament, you know, with the kits and all. The day before, I was practicing at Bedworth. I shot 10 under, and it was like the best thing ever. And then literally the rain and the wind came like minute one of the tournament. And wearing the kit and everything, and, you know, high expectations from practice round and everything, I think I was dead last after the first round. So I was just like, I saw Adam McCrory afterwards. I was just apologizing. I was like taking off the kit. I was like, here, you can have it back. I don't care. It's fine. But you know, then I missed finals by a stroke after that first round. So still disappointing. But yeah, the pressure was real. But overall, it's really a big boost of confidence, generally speaking. And like they said, to have like-minded people at your back, it's great. And those guys are always pushing forward for UK disc golf and doing, you know, just everything they can do to grow the game and just be amazing dudes. So I'm just really happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, me too.
I've got a question. It's been pre-written for me by Dennis. Dennis,
no, he hasn't.
Why didn't you?
Hold on, I know where this is going.
Why didn't you apply for Ace Disc Golf sponsorship?
I know what this is.
Wait, Max, did you tell everybody what's the first day I ever met you?
Oh man, this is. I'm still annoyed at you for this, to be honest. So it's the second tournament. I'm playing with Team Ace on the back. I'm feeling super shaky. We got out of the car like 5 minutes before. It's raining. It's super windy. I haven't thrown a disc yet. I've just met my card mates for the first time. Just stood on the first tee, kind of feeling, like I say, a bit shaky. And just this random guy walks up to me and he's like, "You stole something from me." What? Well, No, I didn't. So I'm like, oh God, what's going on here? What have I done? So I turn around to him and I'm like, I feel like you're going to kick my head in. Like, what's going on? And he's like, oh, no, we'll talk later. And that was like the worst thing. So I'm like, what the hell? So then I have to throw my first shot of the day, like fresh out the car, off the first tee, with that in the back of my head. I'm like, oh my God, what have I done? So we get through 18, have lunch, get back onto the same first tee. Dennis is just approaching four and he's like, oh, no, don't worry about it. Like, I applied to be on the team and you edged me out on like for the spot. Oh, dude, you could have said that 18 holes ago. It would have been so much better.
That's why you did it, though, to get in your head.
That's why I did it. It's my mind game. I applied, obviously, for the Ace sponsorship. Because, you know, I wanted to be a part of a family. I wanted to represent the sport, and I thought that was a good way. And so I applied. Obviously, didn't get it. I see now, because they already have an American, and they have Max, and so why do they need me? I get it. I totally understand.
And they probably watched your audition video as well.
If you guys... That's what I'm talking about. My audition video is amazing.
I think we should put it on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
yeah, I do.
No, I told Adam, I was like, you know what? It's my goal and this is before I knew anybody, this is before I did the podcast, I was like, it is my goal that every time I play, if somebody's wearing ace, I am going to beat them. I'm going to show you that I think you made the wrong decision. Little did I know is that they picked the nicest guy in the entire world over me. And I told Max, I was like, you know, from now on, you're my nemesis. However, you just can't be mad at him. And like, I looking back now, what, 6 months later, they made the right choice. I honestly believe that. I don't have any hard feelings. I'm still going to try to kick Max's ass every time I get a chance. But that's just because I'm competitive.
I just want to beat you on your home course. I really want to just come and stomp on.
Can I just say, on behalf of me and Bo and Max, you might be Dennis's nemesis, but you're our friend.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're fully behind you.
Awesome. Hey, moving on. Let's switch topics. Do you guys have any questions for us? We always sit here and ask everybody questions, but like no famous person wants to ask us questions. But do you guys have anything you want to ask us?
Is there the thought to have an In the Chains team? Is that something you guys have ever considered? Is it something that you guys want to pursue?
As long as Dennis bankrolls it, it's fine.
So we haven't talked about it. It's not...
Can I just put in, sorry, we might have to, because Dennis is desperate to get on the team and nobody else will have him, so he might have to make his own.
You stole my joke.
Sorry.
So In the Chains, the podcast, is not a business, right? So we're not sponsored by anybody else. We pay. So if you guys don't know about podcasting, there is cost to it, right? To host and to do what you need to do. And we decided early on, we don't want that. We don't want to be sponsored. We don't want to be beholden to anybody else. And because of that, anything that we do that has In the Chains as merchandise or with the logo on it, that all comes out of our own pockets. And that's the way we want to keep it, because this is fun for us. This isn't a business. So we haven't talked about it, but if we were going to have an In the Chains team, it would be the three of us. And then, again, what's the point, right? Because to be honest, we can't fully bankroll, you know, a bunch of players, because if I were to do it, I would want to make sure that entry fees are paid for, that, like, just like you guys, you have you know, clothing that has the logo on it, and then being able to provide, you know, maybe disc or somehow to help the players, right? Because that is what, in my eyes, what the company does. The companies help the players achieve their goals, while the players then represent the company and use their platform to then promote.
What have we got to promote, really, though, apart from the podcast that we're doing for fun? There's nothing money-wise in it, so...
Yeah, so a great question, but again, it's. I think it works differently. Like, again, you guys are sponsored by a company that is a business that when somebody sees the Ace logo and they ask you, you'd be like, yeah, get your discs from Ace, you know, get your bags from Ace. Oh, cool, okay, that's the website I got to go to. Where are we going to say, hey, listen to three idiots talk for an hour about disc golf?
Dennis, what have we got that we're going to be giving each one of these? What have we got?
Say what?
So we are going to, I'm going to give these to Max when I see him, and then he's going to give them to everybody. But we have we have new minis.
Yeah.
So, nice. So In the Chain minis, we just got these in. We got a whole bunch. I mean,
that
literally,
is so
I got hundreds
cool.
of them now.
That's awesome.
Amazing.
So for us, again, this is a talking point. You know, when we go out on the courses, we're going to hand them out to people to get listeners. We're going to give you guys all a mini that you can hang up and frame and put it on your wall.
Use it in your winning tournaments.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Win tournaments with.
That would be my new favorite mini.
Yes. I mean, does it just go with your one other mini?
I have six.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, that's six. Pretty good.
That's a lot of minis. Max, great question. So, no, I don't think we're going to have a team, but thanks. Okay, so we love questions, but you know who loves questions more?
Duffy
loves question. So we're gonna move to Duffy's question corner.
I've actually got a special one this week. I am quite excited for it.
It will
exclude Max and Rachel a little bit, but we're going to do an honorary Brit quiz.
Oh.
So... So we're going to... First question. So it's between Josh and Dennis to see... just to see who can continue to live in the UK.
Okay.
Now we've got Brexit, we can do what we want.
So we'll have Dennis, Dennis answer the first question. Answer first, rather, sorry. So which of these... is not
By the way, I knew this was going to happen. I don't know what the questions are.
Sure.
Which of these is not a real place in the UK? Is it Licky End? Is it Brown Willy? Is it Dick Splashing? Cock Alley? Or Shittington?
Only one of them is not.
Only one of them is not. The rest are all real places.
What were the first two again?
So you got Licky End, Brown Willy, Dick Splashing, Cock Alley, Shittington.
The third one.
Dick Splashing.
Yeah, Dick Splashing.
Josh?
Licky End?
Right, so that's 1 point to Dennis.
Damn.
Bone's going to be pissed off because he lives in Licky End.
I literally live around the corner from a place called Titty Ho.
I went for a whole list and tried to pick the best ones. Okay, quick next one. What is Spotted Dick, Josh?
Oh, this is a dessert, and the spots are raisins. It's like, is it like a bread pudding type thing?
Yeah, like a bread pudding. Yeah, I
agree.
That's 2 points to Josh.
2 points to Josh. Well done, Josh. So that's 2-1 to Josh now. name the mountain range. Name the mountains, including the Three Peak Challenge. That's a tough one.
I don't think we're going to...
No?
Oh, yeah, no.
Dennis, any idea? No?
The UK has mountains?
Yeah, right? Cliffs of
I used to live in Colorado and Alaska.
Yeah.
Another place he's lived as well. Like, he's lived every state.
I've been to 46 out of the 50 states.
Yeah. See, he does this every week. He just shows up. Yeah. Next question. And what year was the Battle of Hastings?
Oh man, yeah, I studied this Battle of Hastings. Yeah, that was.
This was one of the wars that you didn't come in and steal all the glory in.
It was before America existed. This was
1067.
1593. 3.
0800.
You're both from Dennis. You're out by a year. You were
1066.
Ooh. Josh, you get 2 points.
I should. Well, I was going to say I should lose a point. Probably.
No, you get 10 points.
No. You're fine. You're fine as you are.
We make the rules.
Got two questions left. Complete the name of the football/soccer team, just so you know what we're talking about. Plymouth, something.
Rangers.
Plymouth Rangers. Or
the Plymouth Penguins.
Such an American answer.
Plymouth Argyle.
Plymouth Argyle. But you still get a point, Josh.
I know Arsenal.
Well done, Josh.
Josh, don't tell me you're an Arsenal fan.
Well, I'm split between West Ham and Arsenal.
Choose Arsenal. Who's
actually going to be good anytime soon?
Neither
from,
of them.
From a London team? Nobody.
Yeah. Choose Arsenal because Dennis supports Tottenham, so choose Arsenal.
Oh, yeah. I do know that that's a thing.
It is a thing. So, yeah, I've heard it's a thing as well. I'm like, I want to go and like, I want to go to an away game and sit in like the home side, and everybody's like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, you got to watch your colors you're wearing, apparently, or something.
Why? I'm not a gang member.
Dennis, they'd eat you for breakfast, mate. They'd hear that, like, camp American voice, and they'd absolutely destroy you.
I would just go, oi, the whole time.
Become an Italian mobster.
Right, this is the last question, so you can redeem yourself if you get this right, Dennis. Name the four members of the Beatles.
John, Paul, Ringo, and... George.
Ah.
George Harrison, yeah. Paul McCartney, John Lennon, and Ringo Starr.
Liverpool. We didn't do... It wasn't a very well scripted... It wasn't a very well put together quiz, in all honesty.
But Josh
really won. Think about who was going to answer first.
See in the chains away.
But Josh can stay in the country. Dennis, you have to fucking leave.
Yeah. That's it. That's it. That's all I've got.
Well, the,
the spotted the drawing board for next week.
The spotted dick was going to be my intro, but I just couldn't do it.
The spots on my dick. Is that what you're
And like, I was gonna do it. I was gonna do it, and then I turned the camera
on.
You
were so adamant, like, "Oh man, when we do this, I got one. I got it's funny." And then you were like, "The squeak to my bubble."
No, I thought, like I said, I thought that was brilliant.
I'm starting to run out. I got to get some new things.
We have to. I've had to tell you how.
I was gonna say I can send you some. I've been doing lots of research.
Yeah, send me a big old list. Anyways, awesome. Thanks, Duffy. I feel like I'm a horrible Brit, but I guess I'm okay with that. Guys, thank you so much for taking over the show today and being a part of it. I hope you guys had fun. We really do appreciate it. It's been a blast for us. And before we let you guys go, I want to give you guys about 30 seconds. Give us your shout-outs. Thank your moms. Tell us where people should go to buy discs and all that. So, Max, you go first.
Obviously, a huge old shout out to Ace Disc Golf. Obviously, the best place in the UK to pick up your discs. Super great amount of Castoplast in. Personal favourite of mine, but hey, you can make your own mind up. And a big shout out to my fiance Amanda, who has dealt with all of the cleaning and tidying this evening whilst I was on here.
Josh?
Yeah, big shout out to Ace Disc Golf, obviously, and all my friends that I haven't seen in, you know, the last 2-3 months on the course. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys, having a beer with you, breaking this stupid diet I've been on, and keeping some stuff in the chains. I almost cussed, but I didn't. but so shout out to my wife, who's probably asleep by now. She's probably shouting at me in her mind to shut up, but anyway.
And last but definitely not least, Rachel.
Yeah, big shout out to Ace. We wouldn't be here without them, guys. They are super cool. Everything that they're doing for the UK scene is just amazing, and I'm excited to be a part of that. Shout out also to the SDGA. They're really cool. They are helping me, believing in me, and doing a lot for Scottish Ultimate, and it's cool to watch that and be a part of it.
Awesome. Thanks, Rachel. Thanks, guys. And that is it. So, as the Ace, as you always know when you get a disc from Ace, be awesome. And remember, keep it in the chains.
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 Thanks for listening to In the Chains. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like the show, please leave us a review. Until next time, keep it in the chains.